through the dust, you can just make out this soldier taking his injured comrade to the helicopter. He gets the wounded soldier inside, and then amidst the whipping wind and the roaring of the helicopter rotor blades, he does something unexpected. He leans in and he kisses his comrade on the head. A simple act of compassion and loyalty to a brother in arms. And then as the door closes, he rushes off back into the dust and the wind, back into the battle. This description is taken from the Medal of Honor ceremony for an American soldier called Captain Swenson. He was the man who kissed the wounded soldier on the forehead. It's quite jarring, isn't it, to think of a kiss in a war zone. Normally we associate kisses with greeting loved ones, with showing affection, with making love. And yet somehow that act of love, jarring as it may sound, is not completely out of place in a war zone. Because somehow we know that love is not less than warmth and affection, but so much more. Because war, as horrific and horrible as it is, somehow helps us to see that at the heart of love is sacrifice. Isn't that a big part of why we remember today? As we think of those who gave their lives in the First and Second World War, or made significant sacrifices as they experienced war on the home front. Some of us here today lived through that time or know people that did. Isn't it right that we honour their sacrifice? And the commitment our armed forces still give us in their willingness to, if necessary, sacrifice their lives to keep us safe and work for justice in the world. And of course, sacrifice is at the heart of all these high military awards like the Medal of Honour or the Victoria Cross. They showcase sacrifice. This complete lack of interest in one's own safety and needs. Putting someone else's first. I love what the New Zealander Charles Upham, who was a two-time Victoria Cross recipient, the only two-time VC recipient who was a combat soldier. This is what he said after he received one of his VCs after a string of frankly ridiculously brave acts. He said, "It's for the men. It's for the men." You see, war and conflict helps us to see that real love is sacrifice. And of course, that should come as no surprise, because that is what God says real love is about. Verse 10 of our reading. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Love is Jesus, the perfect Son of God, stepping down from heaven, taking on human flesh, and giving his life for us upon a cross. Now notice, it is not that we have loved God. That's what we so often think, isn't it? Love is something we must earn from God by being lovely and loyal to him. But doesn't Remembrance Sunday show us that we are far from lovely? Here today we don't just remember the First and Second World War, but we think of all the wars and conflicts that have happened since. And how, despite ongoing efforts of peacemaking organisations, they are still happening today. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, the DRC, to name just a few places. And as we consider the awful cost that comes from war and conflict, with its injuries, both physical and psychological, today showcases what humanity is capable of at its worst. Yes, sometimes religion or politics gets the blame, but if we are honest with ourselves, doesn't each one of us prefer to look after number one? Instead of caring for the concerns and interests of others, let alone loving God. And so if you take that desire to look after number one and you put it on the world stage, it's not too difficult, is it, to see how war and conflict can happen. And yet, the reading says God still loved us. How easy it would have been for him to simply look at our world and just give up. Perhaps like ignoring the washing up at the end of a long day. You know the kitchen is a mess, but you just can't be bothered. It's not worth it. So we just leave it, or we wait for someone else to sort it out. God is not like that. He does not look at our mess and forget us, or simply get rid of us. He comes to give his life for us. Jesus comes to suffer the hell that we deserve so that we might enjoy his heavenly kingdom. So that we might be completely forgiven our sin and wrong and united to a heavenly Father. And so as we remember and honour the sacrifices of others today, let us not just think of the hell and the heroism of war, but be inspired to lift our eyes to the God who gives his all for us as Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross in love. All for lost causes like us. Jesus the hero, suffering hell out of love for each one of us. You see, the more that we see that, then the more readily we will create a world of love instead of a world of conflict and hate. And that's really the direction that this reading from 1 John 4 takes us in. Verse 7 says, "Let us love one another, because love comes from God." Verse 11 says, "If this is how God loved us, then we should love one another." Or verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." You see, there's a sort of direction to that love. Love comes from God, for he is love, what Christians call the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, perfectly united in love. And when we receive Jesus as a gift from God, when he becomes a part of our life, when we trust that he is indeed the perfect Son of God who took on human flesh to live and die for us, and the rest of our life begins to orbit and centre around him, then our lives are filled with God's love. God's Spirit opens our eyes to see God's love, verse 13. And we're able to then declare in our hearts that Jesus is God's Son, the one who died for us, verse 14. And we are united to God, verse 15. And we ourselves know and believe the love God has for us, verse 16. So often we are unsure about God's love. If we are trusting in Jesus, we can be sure that we are known and loved deeply by God. Loved by the maker and creator of the cosmos. The one who is perfect in every way, loving us. So what then does that sacrificial love and knowing that sacrificial love mean for us and do for us? A couple of things for us to consider. First, this sacrificial love can help to free us from fear. Free us from fear. We can sometimes feel fearful on a day like today. Fearful about the world. Fearful perhaps about our own mistakes. That's even without living in a pandemic and all the uncertainty that brings. But verses 17 to 18 explain that God's sacrificial love means one day Jesus will return to judge the good and the bad, and he will put the world to rights. So if we trust in his love, we can feel reassured and confident. There is no need to fear, because we know with certainty that Jesus will welcome us. He will come. He will put the world to rights. He will bring in his new kingdom of peace and love fully. That sacrificial love can reassure us, can give us a freedom from fear. And this sacrificial love is also a call to the church, to God's people, to love one another. Now that doesn't mean that Christians shouldn't love and care for those outside the church, but John is focusing here on the church setting. The church is to be an example, somewhere that God's love is showcased through our love for one another. Now this is a love that goes beyond mere nice pleasantries. A love that means our conversation is warm and encouraging about people even when they're not present. That looks on others' flaws and weaknesses, not as an excuse for cheap shots or complaining, but as an opportunity to help and support. A reminder that we also have flaws, and that each of us needs grace from God and one another. And it's this kind of sacrificial Christian love that shows God's love. We can't today literally see Jesus dying on a cross as his first followers saw and heard, but we can see Christians loving each other. Because you see, as this sort of curious bunch of misfits that are united by their trust in a God of love shows what God's love is like in their relationships with one another, then the world sees something of God's love. Of how sacrificial, transformative, of how it's for all. Now, of course, if love is evidence of our faith in the God of love, then that can be a little bit concerning, can't it? Because it means we're supposed to love that person who's a bit different from us. The one whose name we can never remember. And the one who, frankly, we find a little bit annoying. It's a love that means we talk not just to our friends and the people that we like, but the people who we don't know as well. It's no wonder, is it, that John encourages Christians to do this. History tells us we've not always got this right, and we certainly need reminding again and again today, don't we? Just as we need that reminder of the cost of war and conflict. Because whilst love is something that flows out of our relationship with God, our Father, it doesn't mean that it's easy. All loving families wind each other up. You know, I love my family dearly. Not always easy to do that. And I know that I'm not always very easy to love either. And yet if there is no desire to love our fellow Christian sisters and brothers, and no frustration and struggle when we find that hard, perhaps we need to ask ourselves whether we've really understood and really received Jesus' love into our hearts. Now, when a fountain runs dry, the answer is to fill it with more water. And so too with us. When our, if you like, love reservoir is running low and we're finding it hard to love, the answer is to look no further than Jesus, the source of love, and let his love for us fill us and refresh us again and again. It's only in realising in our hearts how he has loved us that we are truly free to be able to love one another. Maybe it's a bit like a soldier on the front line with a picture of the one that they love. You know, they spend their evenings gazing into the picture's eyes to remind them of what they're fighting for and who they'll soon be reunited to. And so we look to Jesus and we remember his love for us. We know that one day we'll be able to see him face to face. And as we do that, our hearts are shaped more and more by his love, and our desires increase in wanting to love our fellow Christian brothers and sisters. And so today then, as we remember both the hell and the heroism of war and conflict, and the God of love who sent the ultimate hero to enter hell for us, let us receive God's love. that we might love one another and together declare this God of love to our world. Now, for some of us today, that might be a prompt to receive this God of love for the first time. You might be new to church, you may have been here all your life, but perhaps you've never really realised personally that God loves you and that Jesus gave his life for you. Perhaps when I pray in a moment, you'd like to ask God to come into your life and fill it with your love. For others of us here, we might still not really be sure what we make of all this God stuff. Maybe today's has just raised more questions than answers, which is great because at St. Saviour's we love to provide space to think through life's bigger questions. And I hope you'll keep coming along to perhaps find out more. But perhaps for many of us, we just need that daily reminder. Jesus really does love you. He really did give his life for you. So let us love one another. Should we bow our heads to pray?